This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Quinn and Chris brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. On a Friday especially, I get hungry. Amazing burgers, great drinks, 8 locations around town. So Google Sonic San Diego, find the location nearest you. I know where the one is nearest to me. Thanks, Sonic. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:01 is the time. Final hour of our Friday get-together. Back to our regular time slot. On Monday, we'll be back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Monday. Yankees-Tampa Bay, no score. Neither team has a hit yet. They're in the top of the third inning of that deciding playoff game at Petco Park. And we are going to have a chance for you to qualify for the Las Vegas vacation here. But first, I hope you guys put your thinking caps on. It is time for a round of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right.
We like to call it.
I'm gonna go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Forgot that I did that.
What a great introduction that is. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Matthew Scrammer.
You're totally welcome.
That is fabulous. And this is a Fantabulous Sports Game Show. We have two contestants. One is Tony Gwynn Jr. The other is Matt Scraby. They like to win these games more than anything else on the planet, so it's True. Always fun to see them go head-to-head. Here's how the sports game show works. We're going to give you a category here in just a second. There are 11 answers that are correct today. And we will go back and forth. Scraby, you're going to go first today because I think you're going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage here.
I know I'm a disadvantage.
I'm going to put you first, but there will be 11 correct answers, and we'll go back and forth. You guys got to name correct answers until you can't name them anymore, and 3 strikes and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the first person to get 5 correct. 5 correct. Will win the Fantabulous Sports Game Show today.
All right.
Here's the category. The San Diego Padres, in their history, have won 14 playoff games. That's honestly not very many when you consider they've been a franchise for 52 years. They've won 14 playoff games. In those 14 playoff wins, 11 different guys have hit home runs.
Ugh.
Name the 11 Padre players who have hit a home run in a Padre playoff victory.
Counting this year?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
Well, I don't know. Did they win any games this year?
Yeah.
How many do you have to name?
5 is going to be for the to win the game.
And it's games that they won.
Yes. They had to win the game. So, for example, your dad's home run in that one World Series game would not qualify.
I get it.
Negative.
Because they did not win that game.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he might not have homered in another game. I don't know. I'm just saying that particular one doesn't qualify. It has to be in a win.
Well, I'm just going to start off with the easiest one of them all, and that's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is the easiest one of them all. Yes, he did homer in Game 2 of the playoff series win over the Cardinals. In fact, he had two home runs in that game, and the Padres did win that game in exciting fashion. So, yes, that's how the game works. Scraby, you've got one. Tony, you're up. That's a very, very quiet bell.
How about Manny Machado?
Manny Machado followed up that home run by Fernando Tatis Jr. by hitting one of his own. So he is a correct answer as well. And you guys are tied 1-1.
I'm just going to go with the Game 2 homer from Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer.
Hosmer.
In Game 2 of what series was that, Scraby?
The NLDS.
Aha. One problem with that.
What am I doing?
Padres did not win
doing?
That game.
I'm so stupid.
Yes. Yes.
I think you're going to need to save that clip, although we don't really need to be reminded of it.
I am an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hosmer is not a correct answer. He did not homer in a game that the Padres won.
So stupid.
Tony, you have a chance to take the lead here.
I mean, I will go with Will the Thrill Myers.
Will the Thrill Myers, absolutely correct. He hit two home runs in that Game 2 victory over the Cardinals. So, we've got the three easiest ones, I believe, out of the way. The rest of them can be a little bit difficult, but we'll see how well you guys do. Scraby, you're now down 2-1.
And
you're
I have up. A strike.
And you have a strike.
But our guy, Jake Cronenworth, did hit a home run in a win.
That is a good one, Scraby. That's right. In Game 3, the clinching game against the Cardinals, Jake Cronenworth hit a home run. So you guys have wiped out the 2020 season. Those are definitely the four guys that homered in this year's victories. We're tied at 2. Now you're going to have to really put your thinking caps on and go back a little bit. Tony, you're up.
How about Jimmy the King Leyritz?
Jimmy
Game
the King.
1, ALDS. No, might have been a wild card. Can't remember.
We don't have to name
the game.
The
1 against the Astros.
Yeah, you don't have to name any of the series. That is correct. Jim Leyritz homered twice in Padre playoff victories, both during the 1998 playoff run. One was against the Astros, and one was against the Braves. So, well done, Tony. That is correct. You take a 3-2 lead, and Scraby.
There, I finally
if
got
you come up with
ready.
Another one here, I'm going to be very surprised. But
don't be surprised.
Give it your best shot.
Because your favorite radio call of all time happened when Steve Garvey hit a home run.
That's right. Steve Garvey is correct in a playoff victory, 1984, Game 4 of the National League Championship Series. The Garve went deep. So now it is 3-3. And I will say that without question, you guys have covered the six easiest ones. Doesn't
Fantastic.
Mean that you can't get another one, but it's going to be tough. Tony, what do you got?
Ken Caminiti, Braves.
Ken Caminiti against the Braves. Give that man a bell.
Oh, I thought you were setting me up to be like, psych!
Give that nope. man a buzzer.
You know, it's amazing. Is that they won that series over the Braves, the 1998, what was that, NL Championship Series? 4-2. In their four wins, the only home run they hit was by Caminiti. That's
right.
It. They didn't have any other home runs in that entire series. And, of
they
course,
nice.
All the home runs they hit in the World Series that year don't count in this category because they didn't win any of those games. But, Ken Caminiti was the only player to homer in a victory in that 98 series against the Braves. All right, Tony takes a 4-3 lead. There are four correct answers left, Scraby.
Mm.
What can you do?
Not much.
Not much.
I'm trying to think about, like, the 2005-2006 years. I know they, like, between the two, they only won one game.
Yeah. I will tell you that they did not hit any home run in that game.
You're giving me a hint. Dang.
I'm giving you a hint. Dang. Both of you.
Now I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Now
you got to go
I'm
back to
trouble.
Either. There's two home runs that they hit in victories in 84.
Yeah.
In 86?
And there's two home runs that they hit in the series win over Houston in 1998. I'll give you one more clue, Scray,
because
like you so much.
Okay, thanks.
You spoke to one of these guys a couple of days ago.
A couple of days ago? Wow, a couple of days ago, huh?
Yep, I think so.
Who was on our show?
I thought you spoke to him.
Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank and this is bad radio.
All right, man, how long you get to guess?
Yeah,
okay,
it's about buzzer time.
Let me just say... I don't know. I'm blanking on all names, apparently, of all time.
Give yourself a buzzer. All right, Tony, you're ahead 4-3. I think you're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, Kirk Bavakwa.
Kurt Bavakwa.
I did talk to him yesterday.
I told you did.
But I thought you meant like on the show.
Well, he just told you talked to him. You overthought that, player.
I did talk to him yesterday. Dang it.
Kurt Bavakwa hit a home run and the only World Series win the Padres have.
I mean, this was
This
unfair.
Was a tough category for you, Scraby. I agree.
This is very unfair.
All right, so Tony Gwynn Jr. wins
Play
the game
my music,
today.
Please.
5-3. Can we have a little celebration music? Thank you.
I can't stand the salsa. I can't stand it.
You love it when you
salsa.
Win.
I know. I like to do the salsa. Tony just like waits for me to look at the camera, and then he starts dancing even more.
Yes, he does.
Who are the other guys?
All right, the other three guys that homered in a Padre playoff victory, 1984 NLCS against the Cubs in Game 3, Kevin McReynolds.
I thought Kevin was one.
He was one. And then you go to 1998, the Game 1 guy who homered against Houston was actually Greg Vaughn.
Oh, that's right.
Leiritz hit his home runs in Game 3 and 4. And then the other guy who homered in Game 4 of that series against the Astros, the clincher, was Wally Joyner. So you guys did good.
Unfortunately,
you guys got 8 out of the 11.
Unfortunately for you, Scrape, if that game would have gone longer, I would eventually have gotten both Wally and Kevin McReynolds.
I know.
That was a tough game, though. I figured it was going to be tough, but I wanted to do something with a Padre playoff flavor.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I should have known. I mean, we talked about 3 weeks of that 1998 team in July. I should remember.
We did talk to all these guys.
Yeah, we
had Joyner on the show. We had Vaughn on the show.
We did.
And you talked to Bavakwa yesterday. We couldn't make it any easier than that.
That's going to sting this weekend, for
sure.
It's going
to sting a little bit.
For sure.
All right, so Tony takes Chris's Fantabulous Game Show today. Right now, chance for you to win a prize, or at least qualify for one. Going to answer you a quick trivia question here, something from the show earlier. And if you've been listening to the show, it's a real easy question. Once you know the answer, call us at 833-288-0973. You're going to get a chance to qualify for, get this now, it's a great prize, three-night stay with a round of golf for two and a $250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's legendary. It's Vegas. It's fun. Tony and I were absolutely going gaga earlier in the program over a statistic from the game last night. The Los Angeles Dodgers had an unbelievable number of at-bats with runners in scoring position during Game 3 of the playoff against the Padres last night. What was the amazing number of at-bats with runners in scoring position the Dodgers had last night? Tony and I talked about it at length earlier in the show.
Indeed.
First person with the correct answer, 833-288-0973. You will qualify for the Vegas vacation. We'll come back, talk some more Padre baseball next. Will Leitch, senior MLB writer, joins us when we return on Gwynn and Chris. Here's a check. Padres Padre season is in the books for 2020, but there are plenty of great things to come, certainly for this Padre baseball club, and I would assume that our next guest agrees with that. MLB writer Will Leitch joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. Will, all seasons have to come to an end, even for the champion. But for most teams, it comes in this way, and I'm sure the Padres are disappointed. Their fans are disappointed. We're all disappointed today, but whenever you lose your top two starting pitchers, you look back on a series like this, and you're playing a great team like the Dodgers, you almost kind of had to feel that this was going to be the conclusion.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, we all got that game two out of that, right? That game two, as frustrating as a loss as that was, it was just an absolutely riveting game. You know, really start to finish. And I think speaks to, I'll put it this way, if you're a Marlins fan and you saw what your team just did against the Braves, or you're a Reds fan and just did it again, there's not a lot of positive memories from those. I mean, the Dodgers are not only a great team, perhaps a historically great team. And the Padres gave them some real punches there. And I think that is both an exciting thing, and I think something to take something positive from. I think there's also probably the hard part is, you know, the Dodgers are also not going away. Right. And I think that, you know, now you have an idea of what is atop that mountaintop, how much farther the Padres have to climb. But also the fact that, listen, I follow the St. Louis Cardinals very closely, and the Cardinals are a proud franchise that is trying to win the World Series every year. And there isn't a Cardinals fan that looks at that Padres series and thinks, oh, we lost to a lesser team. Like, the Padres were really good, and frankly, the Cardinals were fortunate enough to miss those top two starters. So I think that there's no question that the rest of the league has certainly taken notice of what the Padres are doing.
Well, that being said, you mentioned that the Dodgers aren't going anywhere. It does leave us with that taste in our mouth, though. What could have been had Denelson Lamet and Mike Clevenger been able to pitch in this past series? Because, as you mentioned, other than last night's game that kind of got away from the Padres, it was nip and tuck pretty much the entire series between those two games. It clearly made a difference, the Padres not having their two starting pitchers.
Yeah, you know, and I think that it speaks well to the Padres. It made a difference in the wild card series too. I mean, that was the best shot the Cardinals kind of had to do that, and the Padres overcame it. You know, and there was something about watching. I know I'm starting to keep harping on the wild card series, but I'm trying to find positive things here. There's some really good positive things. To me, that moment, I mean, it really should not be forgotten. You know, not everyone's the 2003 Marlins or the 97 Marlins that come out of nowhere, win the World Series when they first show up after being gone win the World Series and then disappear. Like, usually there's a more linear kind of movement. You have to take a step forward and then another step forward. What you've seen from the Padres, that step forward in the wild card game, before Tatis hit that 3-run homer in game two, I don't know if you'd be willing to admit this or not, but I think a lot of Padres fans thought before that homer, man, is this how this is going to end? Like, we've had this really fun year and this kind of older team that's just kind of hanging on, it's going to wipe us out in two games. And then he hit that homer, and I think everyone, Cardinals and Padres fans, thought, oh, Padres are winning the series. The Padres are winning the series. And they did. You know, and I think that speaks to not just an emerging talent that you're seeing with the Padres, but current talent right now. And that, to me, is something to be excited about. Yeah, sure, it would have been nicer to have Lamet and Clevenger there in full ready to go. But that there's no guarantee they would have won then either. I mean, like, to me, you know, that I think that to look back and lament about what could have been in a year like this, to me, seems to kind of miss the point of what was so exciting about the Padres season and how it was a step forward. Now, next year, if they get into the NLCS and their top two starters fall out right before they play the Dodgers again, that's definitely a time to be frustrated at that. But right now, this is a big step forward, and I think Padres fans should be pretty proud of it.
Will Leitch, MLB, joining us here to talk about this Padre and Dodger rivalry, which right now, as Will mentioned, the Dodgers are still on top of the mountain as they sweep the Padres to move on to the NLCS. Will, let me ask you your opinion as to what the difference between the two teams is right now. Is it solely the fact that the Dodgers just have been there more and have a little more experience? Or is there an area of talent somewhere that you see what the Dodgers have that the Padres don't yet have?
Yeah, the Dodgers have a lot of things that a lot of people don't have. Right. You know, I think that Ken Rosenthal wrote a really smart piece for The Athletic this week talking about how the Dodgers kind of almost have you, they got defense for you at every turn. You know, if you get hot and, like, you know, you have a shot like Tatis' shot to center field, and you're like, okay, here's the Padres' punch. Nope, they've actually got Bellinger, who's really good in center field and able to make that jump. You start to get a little bit of rally going, and you're like, okay, wow, they're hitting the closer here. They've got a chance to make a difference and win here in the eighth. Here's Joe Kelly, who does 100 miles an hour and has an insane kind of slider. Like, the Dodgers are really deep everywhere. And so, you know, any team's going to have a hard time kind of combating that. Now, I think the Padres did as well a job as you can imagine. You think about how many holes they filled during the season. And I think that's such a smart way to do it. The things the Dodgers have is, you know, they've got, like, it's one of the frustrating things about watching the Dodgers is you're like, wow, this team is so good. Wait, who is this number one prospect that's now also here? Like, the Dodgers have, like, they've got kind of a pipeline going. It takes a little bit of time to get that really going. And I, that to me is the hard, it's going to be hard for the Padres, I would say, it would be hard for any team in baseball to really match what the Dodgers are doing. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, we would have said the same thing about the Dodgers before the 2019 season. And for the record, the Dodgers were not great in 2019. They actually did not have that great of a season. They, you know, things go wrong, injuries happen. All you got to do, the best thing you can do is put yourself in a position to succeed if they have some sort of falter. And I think there's no question of the teams in the West, and really arguably the teams in the National League, I'd say the Braves and the Padres are the ones I think best positioned to be right behind the Dodgers. But to be fair, they are behind the Dodgers because I think everyone's kind of behind the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that after last night's game. Will Leitch here, MLB writer on the SDCCU fan hotline. And Will, let's move into the offseason, Lick, because Mr. Trevor Bauer is seemingly trolling all 30 teams in terms of, my services are open for you guys. And he hit the Padres with a tweet, I think it was yesterday, and kind of had the city buzzing about it a little bit. Let me ask you this, because this year in particular is going to be a weird one, right? Every team is supposedly losing money during this state with no fans coming in the stands. Is it something realistic that you think the Padres will entertain, or would they take the same approach they did last year in not really blocking any rotation spots for some of the young pitching they have coming up?
You know, I think that they would entertain it. I think they'd be silly not to. Bauer was terrific, and he certainly could not close this season really in any better way than he did, even in a game that the Reds lost. But, you know, there's 30 teams, and people talk about, like, well, there's going to be less money in the game, so I don't know if these free agents are going to do as well. The top free agents always do well. Like, there was let's not forget, there was a stretch there where, like, wow, is Manny Machado really going to have a big market? Yes, he did. He ended up having a big market because the top talent is always going to have a big market. Now, if there's a money issue, I think it's more for, like, those mid-tier guys and those players that you maybe don't want to give those long-term contracts to. But the idea that Trevor Bauer is going to be any sort of bargain for anyone next year, I think, is a little bit silly. And so, to me, that's where you start getting in. We'll see what the Yankees do. Maybe if the Yankees win the World Series, they don't go after a Trevor Bauer. But generally speaking, the Yankees tend to be like, well, we were one pitcher short, so bring us best pitchers. And that's kind of what they do. And so, you know, if the Yankees fall short this year, you can certainly see them imagining what that guy would be like in New York is its own kind of madness in many ways. But, you know, I think they should be open to the possibility. But, you know, I also think that, you know, I think there's value in being smart about that. I'm not sure. The Padres have been really smart and really kind of built. They've spent, but they've also, like, constructed something pretty impressive here to suddenly say, wow, we're just one pitcher away. Let's just spend whatever it takes to get Trevor Bauer. I mean, I don't know if that's the best strategy for a team like the Padres, particularly because I'm not sure they just need – I'm not sure if you bring in Trevor Bauer, then you can say, okay, Padres are better than the Dodgers now. Like, I'm not sure you can necessarily say that. It certainly brings them closer. But, you know, pitchers are pitchers. And Trevor Bauer 2 years ago was just some really loud guy on Twitter who didn't actually, who couldn't complete a full season and had like a 5 ERA. So, you know, I think that obviously there's been improvement, but pitchers are pitchers and weird things happen. So, you know, I think that feels like to me, and that feels like maybe a risk better taken by another team, I would say in that regard. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for the Padres to get smart, to make smart purchases and smart buys of contracts. I'm not sure a guy like Bauer is going to – you're not getting any budget from him this year, pandemic or no, and I think that would make me question the idea.
Well, let me just ask you one last thing before I let you go here. If you were the Padres, you were A.J. Preller, is there any particular area that you are looking at that you have seen that maybe showed itself in this playoff series that you do think that the Padres need to address between now and next season?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, it's hard for any team to offset your best two pitchers going down right before the playoffs start. But having extra arms never hurt anybody, you know. And right. I think that, you know, it's funny. I know that game three that Tingler did such a great job of kind of piecing together that bullpen in that Cardinals series. But there were still some guys that you thought, wow, I can't, like, it spoke almost to how much the Cardinals offense was struggling at that point than necessarily, like, oh, this is a guy I totally trust in these games. You know, I think that you can never have enough arms is probably the best way to put it. Listen, the Padres have one of the hardest things to get in baseball, which is multiple superstars. That is, and most of them are they're on the offense, but, like, if you've got that, you've got a lot to build around. To me, it's arms. You know, arms are really the thing. And I know they're unpredictable, but I feel like as we saw even from that game three, there is value in quantity. And I think there's going to be budget guys I think you're going to be able to get that'll be really successful for you. And if not, there are a bunch more, because that's what baseball is now. There's a bunch of guys that can throw 100 for one inning. And those guys are not that hard to find. And I think that may be what the Padres maybe need the most.
Yeah, because of that unpredictability, you almost need more arms, because you don't know who's going to be who you're going to be able to rely on. So you almost strengthen numbers is almost the best way to go.
Yeah, I think so. And particularly, you know, it also leaves you less vulnerable to – again, your top two starters getting hurt right before you start the playoffs. And no one can predict that, but definitely a great way to deal with the loss of a number one and a number two starter is to have a lockdown, terrific number three and number four starter. And to have enough guys behind them to be able to fill in. That's kind of the direction baseball is going anyway. The days of Jack Morris throwing 10 innings in a playoff game or in any game during the season at all are long over. So you really just want to kind of amass quantity, and I feel like they've got the opportunity to do that.
Will, great insight as always. It's been so much fun talking baseball with you. I know we were talking before the season and whether or not there would be a season, so it was really enjoyable to talk about these Padres with you throughout this great season for San Diego,
absolutely.
And we appreciate you joining us the day after, and I don't know, maybe we can do something geographically. We can move the city of Los Angeles to New Jersey for a few years so that they're not in the same division as the Padres. That might be the best answer of all. But I know the Padres are going to be right there knocking on the door for the next several years. I think you agree with that, and I'm pretty sure the Dodgers agree with that, even as they move forward in this postseason. Will Leitch, MLB, thanks so much for your time, sir. Have a great playoffs.
Of course, absolutely. Very exciting we get to talk some playoff games. I look forward to being able to – I think we're going to be doing that for many years to come.
Absolutely. Indeed. That's Will Leitch joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU Online and Mobile Banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Messages and data rates may apply. For details, visit sdccu.com.
All right, let's get to break. When we return, we move to our countdown. Haven't done one of these in a while, but I think you guys will enjoy it. It is our top five moments of the Padres season. When we return, this is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And set to wrap up the happy hour, wrap up the week. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., a little Gwen and Chris for you. They're in the top of the fifth inning at Petco Park. Only one hit in the game so far, Tony. Aaron Judge hit it over the wall. Yeah. 1-0 Yankees leading Tampa Bay. Gerrit Cole looks pretty sharp so far. 4 innings, he struck out 8. You better get him out of the game. 4 innings, that's enough. Can't pitch longer than 4 innings in a major league ball game anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if those rules apply to Gerrit Cole, though.
I don't think they do, nor should they apply to Gerrit Cole. I think we finally got a winner on our Las Vegas qualifier. It was a tough one, but 24 was the answer. That's how many at-bats the Dodgers had with runners in scoring position last night. Scraby really worked overtime to get that that winner qualified.
People were just prices writing it. Like, they would call, and they would be like, 19. I'd be like, nope, try again. And then I would get to them like 6 callers later, they'd be like, 20.
Yeah, everybody was all around it, but they couldn't come up with it. All right, let's see. Do we have anything to take care of here, Scraby? Traffic with Kelly Danick. Let's take care of that.
Well, looks like things are finally starting to wind down after a pretty busy afternoon. We have reports of a stalled vehicle, though, on the South 5 coastline. This is just past the racetrack that is sitting over to the right shoulder. And stalled vehicle being cleared South 805, right at the East 52 connector. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top 5 ways that we like potatoes.
Top 5 pizzas.
Top 5 ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the countdown is brought to you by the 30 Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. For locations and discounts, Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. All right, it took a whole season to put this countdown together, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Indeed, it
Our
did.
Our top 5 moments from the 2020 Padre season, postseason, whatever it is we remember from 2020.
Number 5.
I guess usually the guy that introduces it goes first, so I'll go first.
That's usually how it goes.
Number 5 for me is kind of a general one, but I think I'll remember it for a long, long time, and that's the 4 straight games of the Grand Slam. It's never happened before in Major League history. I think it was Hosmer who hit the last one, right?
Yes.
Here at Petco Park. And I remember the whole deal being like, man, if they walk this guy, Hosmer gets to come up with the bases loaded. And I remember Hosmer said after the game, he said he thought about it for a second, but then he had to, you know, kind of go back to work and figure out how he's going to hit the ball. But, yeah, when you get something like that and you're thinking there's no way they can get another Grand Slam, and then he did that, I think we'll remember that as part of this season for a long, long time. So that's my number 5.
Yeah, truly, truly remarkable when that happened. And then they would add another one on a game, 2 games later.
Yes.
To make it, what, 5 and 6 days or something along those lines.
It was incredible.
It was absolutely crazy. Number 5 on my list was really the first time I thought to myself, oh, man, we might actually have ourselves some real animosity between the teams. And that was Trent Grisham's home run against Clayton Kershaw, where he hit the homer. It was tied to tie the game, turned to his dugout, flipped the bat, and then proceeded to jaw with the Dodgers dugout as he came around third. That was the first time in the two hookups that the teams had that I thought, well, okay, maybe this is starting to escalate a little bit.
Yeah, we're joining the battle.
Right.
That's a great thing.
Number 4.
Season, no question. All right, number 4, I already got in an argument with Scraby about this one. But I'm sorry, I guess when this season's over many years from now, I'm still going to remember this here moment as my number 4 moment from 2020.
Here's the first pitch to Fernando. He swings, hits it in the air out to deep center field. Bellinger going back, still going back, at the wall. He leaps and he made the catch. Bellinger went up over the fence and took a 2-run homer away from Fernando Tatis Jr. And that will end the top of the seventh inning.
Yeah, that's my number four moment. I don't know. I know it went against the Padres, but I guess it's going to be kind of my capper to an amazing season. It was just an amazing play. I don't know how to quite categorize it. Maybe it's not supposed to count on this list, but if you don't think so, then go ahead and send me a tweet and badmouth me. What can I tell you? I thought it was an unbelievable
no kidding.
Play, and it was hard for me to remember it. I'm glad I saw it. I wish it didn't happen to the Padres.
No, I definitely, as painful as it is, it's definitely a memorable moment in the 2020 season. It has to be.
Yeah.
All right, number four for me wasn't actually a game being played. It was a game being postponed, and that was the Mariners-Padres game due to a boycott from the Seattle Mariners due to the social unrest we've had in our country. That was significant. It was something I never thought I'd see in baseball, but I thought this was certainly memorable. I was working pre and post that day, so it sticks out in my mind very vividly.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the whole story of 2020, right? You know, playing through all the social injustice and everything that this season entailed.
So number three.
All right, number three, Tony, you'll remember this. This is one of my favorite moments. It wasn't a regular season game. It wasn't even a postseason game. It was a spring training game. Yes, way back before COVID even started, but you all were nice enough to let me into the booth with you and Jesse to call a spring training game. That was about as much fun as I had all year because the coronavirus pandemic hit about a week later. So that was just a great night. I had so much fun calling that game with you and Jesse, and you guys were gracious enough to let me in there. And, man, that was a lot of fun. I can still picture it. And I remember Tommy Pham at bat for about 20 minutes that one time and us joking about that.
That's right.
We just had a good – it was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed myself. And I remember after the game, Scraby, I think I told you this before, but we walked out of the booth, the three of us together, and like 20 people, this is also all pre-COVID, so we don't need any sirens, but about 20 people ran up to Tony for his autograph. About 10 people ran up to Jesse for his autograph. And I just walked quietly and silently off into the parking lot.
Hey, at least you're not me. Whenever I'm walking along with Tony, it's, oh, hey, man, can you take a picture? They have no idea who I am, so at least you get some recognition, Chris.
That is a memory that I will take, though, from this season. The whole spring training experience with you guys and calling that game, that was fun.
Yeah, that was cool to have us, all three of us, in the booth at that point. Number three on my list was Trevor Rosenthal punches out the side to help the Padres advance past the wild card series and the Cardinals. That moment was, I don't know why it sticks out to me, but I just felt like that was like, okay, ooh, this team has really arrived. Like getting to the playoffs, I kind of expected, you know, once the season started, but to get through the Cardinals, especially how game one went and the way they came back in game two, there was some doubt, right? And
sure,
when Rosenthal punches out the side, it was just like, yeah, this is where we're supposed to be, facing the Dodgers in the NLDS.
Number two.
All right, number two for me was, it had something to do with Trevor Rosenthal, but it was just the 48 hours surrounding the trade deadline. That was just such an exciting time. I mean, because the Padres went from being a really good team to a team that you honestly had to think about, you know, might have a chance to win the whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean, they got Mitch Moreland first, and I said, okay, that's nice. And then they got Castro, and I said, well, that's all right. And then they got Austin Nola, and I said, that's good. And then they got the next one. And then when they got Clevinger, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And I really didn't think at the time, you know, well, now all they have to do is stay healthy. I just assumed that, you know, they'd be healthy and they'd have a chance to win the World Series. And
good point.
It all happened in 48 amazing hours pulled off by AJ Preller. That's my number two memory of this 2020 season.
Well, my number two memory was as electric as any of them during the season, and here's what happened.
3-2 pitch. High fly ball. deep left field. Car rushed. Tie ball game, Manuel. Tie ball game, son. Here come them boys. They're not going away yet. They want to play tomorrow. The ball game is tied. 6-6 in the sixth. How about them boys?
Yeah, there was no one that was convincing me after Manny hit that homer that the Padres weren't going to win that series. Not the game, the series. You could just see that offensive juggernaut that had kind of been stymied through the game one all of a sudden come to life. Manny hits that homer, returns to his guys, and is pumping them up. I was ready. At that point, I knew the Padres were winning that series.
Number one.
My number one moment happened about a minute and a half before Tony's number two moment, and it went something like this.
The 2-2. Fernando, a high fly ball to deep left field. Car rushed. Ball going. Long on for El Nino. Won't be his last playoff appearance. Won't be his last playoff home run. Now we got a ball game right here. A one-run lead for the St. Louis Cardinals. Here come them boys.
Yeah, your home run was awesome, Tony, and so were all the rest of them that followed it that night. But I think that the reason I'll remember that one the most is because I'm kind of a negative guy by heart.
Yeah.
I was starting to give up on the season, man. I was sitting there on the couch, and they're 6-2, and I'm thinking, man, this is just going to really be stinky way. In fact, I shared with Scraby that the following day I was thinking of doing a special countdown on some of the toughest losses in San Diego sports history. And then that's what was going through my mind at that exact moment. I was like, man, this is another sucky loss for San Diego to have a great season, go up in smoke. And then two guys get on, and he hit that home run, and then, man, there was life. And, of course, we all know what happened after that, and they end up winning the series. But I don't think I'll ever forget the feeling I had when Fernando hit that first home run to get them back in the game against the Cardinals. So that's my number one moment for me.
Hop in the time machine, and go back with me when the Padres had lost five straight. Tommy Pham had just hit the IL along with Kirby Yates. They come into Globe Life Field unassumingly. Padres with a lead, and this happened.
See what he does here. Three balls and no strikes. Runners lead at all three bases, and the pitch to Tatis is swung on and hit out to deep right field. It is up and out, a grand slam for Fernando Tatis Jr. He leaves Mike Trout behind with his 11th home run of this season, his second of the night. And in the last 40 minutes or so, he has hit two home runs and driven in seven.
And that would start a storm of controversy in the unwritten rules. And we must have talked about that for an entire week. But more importantly, this is where the Padres' season really turned into high speed right here. They would go on and really start to play the best baseball they had all season long. Never look back. That also, I think, led to those same trades that you just talked about as your number three spot, Chris. And I can't say enough about this day, because as much as we focused on the unwritten rules, this team came together that day, that night, and really never looked back. That's my number one spot for San Diego Padres.
They went 21-5 after that, Tony. So yeah. To say that was
lost
the
five
point,
games the rest of the year, that's crazy.
Yeah. They went on an amazing run. No one will forget that game and that home run. And you're right. It put them also in the national spotlight, because everybody talked about that unwritten rule thing, and it became kind of the number one subject on all kinds of shows all throughout the country. But you're right. It galvanized the Padres. All right. There's our countdown, special countdown, our top memories from 2020. It was certainly a great season. Glad you were a part of it. We're going to take a second here before the end of the show, Tony, because Scraby's been after me to do this. And, you know, every now and again, I got to pay attention to what Scraby says, because he makes me do the right thing.
Yeah.
And the right thing is to take a minute to thank everybody that was part of the Padre season this year. I want to thank, our Padre broadcast and, of course, Tony and Scraby and everything and all the talk shows. But the guys on the Padre broadcast that were amazing, Braden Suprenant, who handled the pre- and post-game along with myself, Odd Thomas,
Brian Cohen, those guys ran the board every single night, every single game all year. Behind the scenes, there was Janet, there was Preston, there was Doris, there was Ken, there was Janet, who stayed up until midnight some nights just to see what time the Padres would play the next game. And last but not least, got to thank our boss, Adam Klug, who brought all of those videos and tweets and Facebook posts and everything all year long. Adam Klug was all about one thing this year, and that was making sure all of you had a chance to enjoy Padre baseball. So,
yeah, he's maniacal when it comes to making sure you guys. When it comes to making sure you guys enjoy Padre. Real quick thought.
Yeah.
SDCCU/Qualcomm/Jack Murphy.
Oh, no.
Demolition starts this month.
Oh.
So those memories will all be coming to, memories won't come to an end, but the place that building has meant for a lot of us is coming to an end. Just thought I'd bring that up. We've been waiting long for this new stadium, but got to acknowledge the old in this when it's all said and done. Chris, I'm sorry, you could take us home.
I will take us home into the weekend. Everybody have a great one. We'll talk to you Monday right here with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Back to our 3 o'clock time Monday. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.